welcome one and all once again to Dual Wielding episode 97. You'll notice that there's no 96 on the website. We actually recorded it. The audio got skunked. I may or may not find a way to fix it up and put it up there, but for now, we're going to stick with numbering this 97. We have a lot of news to cover this week because, ironically, we made fun that there was nothing that was supposed to happen this week, and everything happened this week, so...
This is what happens when Nintendo announces a Nintendo Direct 2 days before it's supposed to happen.
A day before it was supposed to happen, but yeah, we'll get to that in a second. We're going to kick it off with news because we have a lot to cover. But before we get there, let's introduce our panel. As you heard, we have Daniel.
Hello.
We have Martin.
Hi.
And we have Anthony preparing for a flight to I don't know where, so. And he's not with us. Okay.
I am with you. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. It's Amarillo, like Amarillo by morning, but nothing's over there. It's for business, though. And I always like flights because it gives me time to catch up on portable game stuff, maybe a couple books.
I've always said I enjoy traveling. I don't enjoy the transportation. I don't like buses or planes or trains and any of that other stuff. Planes, I don't mind planes, but planes to me, because planes, you don't have any type of pit stops or anything, unless you have layovers or whatever. So you're in the air for 6 hours. I'm 6 feet two. Most of those seats don't really fit me. It's usually uncomfortable. I've had some really bad people in front of me. I've had like two incidents where people kept on trying to push their seat back, not realizing they were hitting my knees, and they kept on doing it.
Oh, God.
Like, it's not going back any further. You should know why by now. But that's neither here nor there.
Next time, don't be tall.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I will take that up for my parents the next time I see them. But that's neither here nor there. This week, like we said, we have a lot of news, and I guess it's really the only place to kick it off would be the Nintendo Direct this week. Because that's going to take up a bulk of this show, because apparently Nintendo is like, crap, we haven't really sold anybody on the Wii U yet, so let's kind of tell them what we got coming down the pipelines, and they told you everything.
It did. So, it was actually fun that I listened to IGN's Nintendo voice chat or whatever after the Nintendo Direct. Like, I had one right before it that they're talking about, you know, what Nintendo needs to do and everything that's they're not doing correctly, and then Brian Altano said some of the lines that they just need to release an effing, you know, Wind Waker in HD while we're waiting. And sure enough, 3 days later.
So I guess that's where we're going to start, Wind Waker in HD. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. It's blue map was too, but...
Part of the Nintendo Direct was Anumi, the main developer producer of the Zelda franchise since, I think, Ocarina of Time, coming out and saying that since E3 2011, they've been trying, they've been experimenting with different styles for the next Zelda game on the Wii U. It's not going to use the style that they revealed when they revealed the Wii U, but they've been experimenting and putting other Zelda styles in HD. And while they were doing this, they decided, oh, what the hell, let's make Wind Waker remake in HD. because Zelda for the Wii U is way off, so we're giving the fans a bone, and this is coming sometime this year. They said fall, but who knows with the days and stuff like that. Thoughts on Wind Waker HD?
It looks really good, even from the they're just stills, but it still looks really good.
I'm hoping, and I shouldn't have any, you know, there's no reason it shouldn't be, but once I see it moving in 60 frames a second, I would easily pay $60 for it.
I will say this much, and this is, I think Wind Waker HD looks good. I don't think it looks as good as the original Wind Waker. It doesn't have that soft cell shaded look that the original has. It kind of looks like claymation now, which still looks good in its own right. But I still think the original...
That might change, because...
That
know,
might change.
There's only
right
so
now.
Much you can get from the really small stills that we got, so...
Yeah, but it, I mean, even in stills of Wind Waker, you can tell that it's a distinct style. Like, this still has a very distinct style. It's very vibrant, it's very colorful, it's very lively, but I still think that it doesn't look as well as the original Wind Waker's cel-shadedness.
I'm just interested to see, you know, what some of the other things will look like. For example, the Fire Temple, the, you know, what it's going to be like sailing on the sea. There's a lot of things I'm looking forward to.
I am more curious about what they're going to add, remove, or fix with this game. Because
they quote gameplay tweaks.
Yeah. And I assume that most people are taking that to be code for we're going to fix the Triforce quest hunt.
I'm holding my breath there, but that would be fantastic.
Well, from the sounds of it, based on what I've heard from Ocarina of Time 3D, Nintendo made the right changes to that game. So they'll probably just do the same with Wind Waker.
But if I'm not mistaken, Ocarina of Time 3DS was gameplay tweaks, like having inventory on the second screen and stuff like that. But Wind Waker, I mean, I think most of Wind Waker's problem was more... Wind Waker, I've said before, is my favorite Zelda game. I think its problem is that it's pacing and its lack of dungeons, because overall there are 5 dungeons, 4.5. Some people don't count the water one in the middle with the boat. I don't know why, but whatever. But some people don't count it. I don't know why. But there was also, I think, 2 dungeons cut from the game due to timing, because they wanted to get it out within a certain time frame. Mm. And a lot of that seems to be the Triforce quest, because the Triforce quest on its own wouldn't be so bad. It's the way they implement it, where you have to find the treasure map. You have to get the treasure map translated by Tengu, and then you have to go to the spot to find the Triforce piece. If they can find some way that if you get the map, you get the location, or, you know, like you can find the maps in various places and don't need to get them translated. Something to streamline that whole process. It would be a better fit. They are adding some other stuff, which is kind of neat. I mean, off-screen play, I'm sure, is going to be a big one for people. It's almost like a portable Zelda game. Miiverse community, which I hope they implement with the... Because part of the Wind Waker's minigame was that you got a camera in the game, and you can take pictures of, like, enemies and landscape and stuff like that. So being able to share that stuff on Miiverse would be kind of cool.
That would be really cool.
Of course, but, you know, improved graphics, HD. I'm not holding my breath, but orchestrated music would be amazing. Wind Waker has my favorite soundtrack of the Zelda franchise. Other than that, I mean, I think the game ages well. There's really still nothing on the market that looks like it, so it's like it's going to compete with anything new and fancy. And it does give Zelda fans a bone for the first, I guess, year of the Wii U life.
And it's not just, like, a small bone either, is Wind Waker.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure part of the reason they're doing this is Wind Waker is probably one of the worst zones out of the games in the franchise. I mean, part of it's aesthetic, part of it is also the fact that the GameCube's Nintendo's worst on home console, so they were just within an audience. And it's a young enough time. I mean, it's going to be, 10 years since it came out?
Yeah.
So it's a big enough window for it to be remade and stuff like this. And, you know, I mean, at least to me, it doesn't look like they're trying to sell people on the system with this, especially being, as we'll get to in a second. So it's not like Ocarina of Time, where that was kind of like the 3DS's big title for a couple of months. This is just kind of like, oh yeah, you also get a Wind Waker HD, because the real Zelda's quite a bit off. But we're promising you a real Zelda, we're promising you it's coming out, we're just saying that you're going to have to wait, so here's something to hold you over.
I actually went and pre-ordered it yesterday, and had a huge wave of nostalgia, because I realized, I think Wind Waker was the very first game that I pre-ordered. You guys remember, you got Wind Waker in 2003, if you pre-order it, Nintendo gave you the Ocarina of Time and Master Quest for free.
Yes, those were pre-order bonuses I appreciated. I also have that. I forget, because they also gave out the Ocarina of Time and Master's Quest, but I can't remember what they gave that for.
It was Wind Waker.
So which one gave you the Zelda collection? Was that Wind Waker as well?
The Zelda collection was if you registered, like, 5 specific games online, or if you subscribed to Nintendo Power.
Oh, okay, so it was basically Club Nintendo before Club Nintendo.
Yes.
Okay. See, those are the type of credits I accept.
I got the disc back in the day because Club Nintendo, because it has been around in Europe for a while longer.
Well, I think Club Nintendo has been around for a while. It's just that it didn't really do anything until this generation as far as getting prizes. Like, it was just like, a way to register your products. Because I have like, my Game Boy Advance and my GameCube registered on my account from ages ago. So, yeah. So, yes, Wind Waker HD, New Zelda game. I am assuming no earlier than fall 2015. But, whatever. In addition to that, because, you know, Zelda gets people excited, they also announced that, shockingly, EAD Tokyo is working on the next 3D Mario game for the Wii U.
Whoa.
I know, I was stunned.
I thought that they weren't going to do any Mario games for the Wii U. Not at all.
Yeah.
Big surprise. And they said they said it's going to be playable at E3, right?
Yeah. Which kind of makes sense because, I mean, if you think about it, 3DN, which is the last game, is a year and a half old now. But it's also, 3DN wasn't made by the Galaxy team. That was made by the Galaxy 2 team. So the Galaxy team has had a lot of free time on their page.
They're not the same team?
It's the same building, but I think this Galaxy 2 was made by a separate team from Galaxy 1. And here's the thing. As much as I love Galaxy and Galaxy 2, and I've said it before, they're my two favorite games of this generation, hands down, I don't want a Galaxy 3. So I really hope they go back to the table and come up with something fun and creative and different while still being very Mario.
I mean, I'm in the same boat, but I will say that if they do Galaxy 3 and I see it in motion, my hesitation might be thrown out the window.
I'm not going to turn down a Galaxy 3. I'm just hoping that they come up with something different. Because, I mean, the reason Galaxy worked, and even 3DN, is because they took the core Mario format and shook it up a lot, while still being very Mario, but so very distinct and creative and unique and fun and exciting. And, okay, I'm just going to go on too long about this, but you get the idea.
Yes.
And, I mean, if any team, I've said this before as well, if they're the one team in gaming that I trust with bar none, I mean, Donkey Kong, Jungle Beat, the two Galaxies, 3DN, have all been amazing games. So if somebody's going to find a new way to do platformers, I'm sure it's going to be them. And we also got announcement of Mario Kart for Wii U.
Hey, yeah. Surprise!
Surprise, yep.
I was wondering if they were ever going to do, you know, two Mario Karts in one generation, but Iwata said something along the lines of, you know, there's one in every one, and this is the Wii U's.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and they don't have to do this, and I don't know why they haven't. They don't have to do Mario Kart more than once a generation. They have, it's like they have this huge staple of franchises they can bring together. Kind of like what Sega did. I mean, it's not like they don't have airships and horses and boats and water jets and all this other stuff they can kind of combine. And if they really want to get AZ, they also have Donkey Kong. I mean, I'm sure they can buy your other back for pennies on the dime at this point.
Is it just my nostalgia talking, or would a Diddy Kong Racing-style adventure not be the coolest thing ever?
I think Diddy Kong Racing, me and Martin had this discussion earlier in the week, is that Mario Kart, I feel like Mario Kart has to remain Mario Kart for people to continue to kind of support it, but it has been kind of stagnant. While there have been changes and evolutions in it, it's still kind of this core franchise in Super Mario Kart. And, you know, when you have stuff like Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transform coming out and kind of doing new and exciting stuff, it's kind of hard to say, oh, it's Mario Kart again. And I think they do need to do that, but I do think that Diddy Kong or Donkey Kong is a better avenue to kind of mix up their core kart racing genre, because Diddy Kong Racing had the same thing that Sonic and All-Stars has with the plane, the boat, and the kart. And it had a much more interesting single-player mode, since it actually had a story to it.
The coolest story ever.
And they even had, there was, you know, when Rare was still with them, they had the Donkey Kong Racing announced for the GameCube, which would have had you ride on the back of animals and stuff like that, which, again, would have been interesting. And I think that's kind of, I mean, it's not like they don't have multiple franchises in the same genre. Mario, Donkey Kong, Kirby are all kind of the platform and stuff. They have like fifth, you know, Fire Emblem and Advance Wars are all kind of in the strategy RPG genre. So they can do it. And you know, they keep Mario Kart because honestly, Mario Kart is like that, it's like your safe food. It's the one that you know, it's the one people consume. It's their biggest brand, even bigger than 2D Mario at this point. So it makes sense to do that, you know, refine it, fix online, maybe some single player missions, communities, this and that, new characters, vehicles, whatever. But they should experiment with the format and do other stuff, you know, aside from that. And I'm sure the Mario Kart team wouldn't mind mixing it up a bit with a new franchise.
The question I have was, is it the Mario Kart team not wanting to do more, or is it Nintendo lately wanting to get Mario Kart out as quickly as possible?
I mean, I also think that Nintendo and the Mario Kart team probably think the new things they introduce are game changes, because, I mean, they do introduce new things. Like, the last game had the hand glider and the submarine. Before that, they introduced tricks and motorcycles. Before that, you know, the DS one had the single-player mode. Mario Kart Double Dash had the two-player. So they introduced these things, and they probably think, oh, this shakes up the formula enough, where fans are like, it's still fundamentally Mario Kart. You're just kind
You guys have to remember, most of the innovations that Nintendo has done with Mario Kart lately have been in its multiplayer function. So obviously the 3DS, you know, focused on Street Pass, Spot Passes. It would constantly look for ghosts for you to race, and then you could, you know, I remember it did a lot of new changes just with the ghost format. You could race multiple ghosts at a time, you know, transfer them through Street Pass and race other people, collect them through Spot Pass, tournaments, communities, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff that they do with Mario Kart, but the question always kind of boils down to, is it enough to make it feel different? Because even with the Mario Kart 7, I thought the things with communities were really interesting, being able to kind of cater to your play style, getting, you know, like-minded gamers and stuff like that. Mm. The problem then becomes it's like this core of the game is still Mario Kart, and it's really hard to change up that format and not alienate people.
Most of the changes they make to Mario Kart are fairly superficial in the grand scheme of things.
What I think as well.
Yeah, like the hand glide in the submarine didn't really add much. I do think that the dynamic of the two players per kart was great in Double Dash, but fans rebelled against that, which is why they went away from it. And that's kind of something we'll get into at some later date, is that sometimes Nintendo introduces these changes that fans don't like, and then they go back to what was safe, and then fans complain that it's not different enough.
The two kart was one of my favorite additions ever. Playing co-op with two carts, me and my brother, I don't know how many hours we spent on it going through Grand Prix. And, you know, he'd be the guy in the back and he would worry about power sliding boosts and then hitting people left and right. It was, I loved it.
Yeah, it added that dynamic. It added what APA is in tournament mode. But it also added a very interesting dynamic as far as playing with your friends, because then you can have people, like if you do the two carts per, you know, two players per cart, you had a different dynamic because you had the time when you switched in and out, who had what items, who was the better driver, who was the better item management, you know, like which characters you picked because you got specific weapons for each character. So there was a lot of interesting stuff on display with Double Dash. But again, fans rebelled against it, so they went back to the safe route. And Mario Kart DS became the best-selling one, and then Mario Kart Wii came out, and that was the best-selling one. So you can kind of see why they're sticking with the formula. But yeah, we're saying more than they said about it at the Nintendo Direct. This will also be paid for at E3, so there's that. What else was there? Oh, they announced the new Yoshi game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yoshi's Epic Yarn.
I believe the working title is Yarn Yoshi. So it's almost the same. It honestly does look like they took Kirby's Epic Yarn and like, okay, Kirby, you're out, Yoshi, you're in, and that's... but it seems like there are some different dynamics on display. We haven't, you know, it's like a 5-second game tape, clip. But it seems like instead of transformation, like you can have full Yoshi and non-Yoshi, giant Yoshi, and stuff like that. And you have like Shy Guys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I, I've never been huge on the Yoshi franchise, so I'm kind of curious for if any of you are fans of Yoshi's Island or Yoshi's Story.
I really like the Yoshi's Island games.
Yeah, Yoshi's Island.
I actually prefer Yoshi's Island to the standard any other Mario game, to be honest.
Okay, but is this what you wanted from a spiritual successor?
I don't know, because I haven't played Kirby's Epic Yarn, so I don't know how, like, I'm not too clued up on, like, what the developer has done before and what they're likely to do with this new Yoshi game. But if it's anything like Yoshi's Island, then that's a good thing, if you ask me.
I would say it's going to be more like Epic Yarn than Yoshi's Island, in the sense that you can't die, and it's about just enjoying a relaxing time, going around finding collectibles, and just enjoying the charm of it all.
Well, let's be honest, Yoshi's Island wasn't the most difficult game either.
Well, that's kind of the thing people have in the back of their head now. It's like Yoshi's Island was one of the most difficult ones, and this is like a child's Yoshi's game. So that's kind of why I was asking, because like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Yoshi's Island or Yoshi's Story was extremely easy.
Even more so than Yoshi's Island, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like it's in line, but a lot of people kind of have that, you know, like Yoshi's Island was like this super tough, super amazing Mario game or whatever. So, and I mean, we've seen Yoshi's Island, Yoshi's Yarn and Kirby's Epic Yarn, so we know they can make beautiful games. Their focus doesn't tend to be on traditional platforming like Nintendo's core teams. It seems to be more on like, it's an easy challenge, but what they have challenges is like achievements per stages, because they did Epic Yarn and they did Wario Land Shake It, which are both very easy to get from point A to point B, but then they'd have like meta challenges in each stage, and those would be really difficult on platforming challenges. So I guess that's what they're going for. Mm. But I expect this game out this year. This game looks far enough, and I can see this being like their October title.
Maybe.
Or early next year, something like that. What else? Oh, we got a new Wonderful 101 trailer.
Which is really cool.
It's beautiful. Yes, it does. I honestly don't know what to say about this. This has been my most anticipated Wii U title since it was shown. It has everything that makes me squeal. It looks like a Saturday morning cartoon with superheroes that you get to beat up people with. So I'm all on board for it.
And there's giant robots as well.
Giant robots. If they transform and like form up into a Megazord at some point, I am so going to say Nintendo stole my dream journal. I mean, they already kind of do that because, like, how you control it is, like, you form different formations with the main characters, guns, swords, balls, gel for block, which I still don't get, but it works. Various different heroes. It looks like we had a focus on a new one this time, the big green guy. None of them have been named yet. So, I wonder if they're going to name all 100 characters, because that seems like a lot of work.
Well, they do it for Pokemon.
That's true. This is going to be for Pokemon too, huh? They're going to start selling Wonderful 101 action figures that you can use NFC for on Oculus.
That would be Wonderful 1001.
Yeah. That's what they're going to do with Wonderful 102 of Gold and Silver Edition. But yeah, and I mean, this is also from Platinum Games, who, as far as I know, have not made a bad action game yet, so...
Depends on how you feel about Anarchy Reigns.
I consider that more of a beat-em-up, which I get is in the action genre, but since it's a multiplayer focus, and it's very hard to do multiplayer beat-em-ups well. Ask Sony. Or is that too soon?
Well, they've laid off people.
That's what I'm saying. So it happened yesterday, so I don't know if I should be making fun of them just yet.
It's never too soon to make fun of Sony.
But, yeah. So Wonderful 101. What else? Oh, the oddest team-up since Pokemon X Nobigami's Ambition is Shin Megami and Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
I got pretty excited about that, to be honest.
I mean, it's an interesting team up. It's just like on paper, like, would you have expected that to be the franchise Nintendo?
It's like, how do you draw a line between these two franchises?
Well, one is a strategy RPG, one is an RPG. I don't think it's so difficult to connect them. I mean, Atlus even does the what's the strategy RPG Shin Megami Tensei thing they have on the
Soul
DS
Hacker?
And 3DS.
Is it Soul Hacker?
Devil Summoner? Yeah.
One of those two.
It's not like it's a total foreign genre for them.
It's not the genre necessarily that I'm confused about. It's the idea of the two franchises.
I mean, we have seen all kinds of team-ups when you think about Nobunaga's Ambition and Pokemon. So I think in that sense, nothing can surprise me anymore.
Yeah, but that's kind of the point. It's like, it seems like Nintendo's like, okay, we have a franchise, just throw a dart, and we'll pick a random third party, throw a dart, and we'll just have them find a way to make these two work. I'm sure it's going to be interesting. The other thing with this, and the way I see crossovers is either you do two mega franchises that people want to see, you do a mega franchise and a niche franchise that works together, or you kind of do, you know, like, this doesn't, like, both of them are very niche franchises, so it's not like one gets the bump from the other one, and it's a very niche genre to begin with. Niche. Mm. So I'm happy for it because again it's Nintendo thinking outside the box, and one of the things Iwata said when he announced this is that they realized that HD development is kind of tough, so they're kind of partnering up with outside developers to get some games, and it's glad that they see their problems, they're admitting it, and they're doing something proactive about it. If this is what we can expect, I mean, these people won't complain about the Nintendo franchises being the same thing over and over again, because this and Pokemon X, Pokemon Conquest, aren't exactly traditional games in their genres, so there's that.
Yeah.
But there was not much shown, it was just kind of it was a character reveal trailer, just, we can kind
of... Here's some pictures of Shin Megami Tensei characters, and here's some pictures of Fire Emblem characters. Now imagine them standing next to each other.
Yes, I'm trying to see if there's anything else I'm missing before we talk about their final game.
Party game thing.
Oh, yes, everybody keeps on forgetting about that. So do I, apparently. We Party 2.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised to find out has sold over 8 million copies. I did not think it did that well.
Yeah, and I'm probably the only one who thought it looked kind of okay.
it looks interesting, and I'm a huge fan of party games. I said this before. I have a ton of friends that I still get together with and play video games every now and then, and party games, especially accessible party games where everybody can kind of get in on the fun, works.
Yeah.
So that's a huge boon for me. And as I know, you can say, because I don't want to steal it because you mentioned this before.
Yeah, what I really liked was the stuff they've shown, like two players playing on one gamepad, basically everyone having having control of one of the analog sticks. Basically, an easy example would probably be playing something like air hockey against each other just on the gamepad. I think that's something that's kind of cool. Already see myself playing simple, quick games like that with my girlfriend, for example, something like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's something that they kind of needed because, I mean, part of the reveal of the Wii U was like the games you could play on the gamepad alone with another person, and we haven't seen any of that yet.
Yeah.
So this is a push in the right direction. So, yeah, it's interesting. And like I said, it sold 8 million copies. So I did not know that. I didn't know there was a huge market for it.
Well, Wii Party, I think, also sold partly this well because it came with the controller.
Yeah, but all of these games come with controllers at this point.
But it was at a point where people were buying remotes because the Wii U was this local multiplayer hit, and a lot of people probably thought, like, well, well, I could just buy a Wiimote, or I could buy this Wiimote, which also comes with a game.
Yeah, but that makes sense for Wii Play. Wii Party came out in 2010, which is...
Oh, wait, right. It wasn't Wii Party. I'm confusing things right now. You're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I said. At that point, you had so many games that came with it, and I don't even think it's the Motion Plus, so it was behind the curve. Mario Party was a huge brand, and I think Star Run people from that for like 5 years helped. And people like the Miis. As much as gamers seem to hate that idea of the Miis and Miis, it seems to be a brand that resonates with fans. So, there you go. And finally, the game that I'm sure met a lot of people wet their pants is Project X.
Wait, you missed another thing.
What did I miss this time?
They also showed a little bit of Bayonetta 2.
Oh, yes, Bayonetta 2, because you want to touch her.
No, it was interesting. I didn't expect them to show Bayonetta 2, to be honest. I thought, we didn't really see anything from the game. It was mostly like...
We haven't forgotten about it.
Look at us modeling characters from Bayonetta 2. It was basically what they showed. Which, is, the question arises now is that an indication of how far along the game is, or is it just them drip-feeding us information of it?
It's just drip-feeding, because they don't want people to forget about Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
They want to remind people that we're here for core. Here's your core game.
That is more. I think they've done more so far on these two shows than Sega did the entire time Bayonetta was coming out. So there's that. I could be drip feeding. I also think it's, you know, because Platinum has been working on a lot of games. They're just finishing up Revengeance. They have the wonderful 101. So I assume that this might not make it out this year. So maybe they're just kind of holding off until they can show it. Like, it seems like E3 is going to be a really heavy show for them. Bayonetta 2, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers, which we didn't mention, but that was already announced, and they didn't really give me any updates on that. And all of these games that they announced here, and I assume new stuff that they haven't announced yet. So maybe they want to save Bayonetta for like, okay, we have Microsoft and Sony who's going to have a new system. We need these heavy guns. Yes, Bayonetta isn't a heavy gun, but for Nintendo, it's a very different game than they traditionally produce or develop or, you know, publish. So maybe that's that.
And there will be people that will buy a Wii U just for Bayonetta 2.
Well, I assume almost everybody who buys Bayonetta 2 would have to buy a Wii U for it, because... I mean, in the sense that there's no audience for it. There was never a Bayonetta on the Wii.
Yeah.
And there really isn't a comparable game on the Wii for Bayonettas. And I don't really think there's going to be much before that. Though I still think, and this was really weird since they announced it for PSN this week, I still think that Bayonetta needs to come to the Wii at some point. And if they do it as a Wii U eShop title, that's all the better, because...
And they could easily discount it because it's a fairly old game now.
Yeah. They could easily discount it. I don't think they will.
No.
That's the world we have in. So, yes, Bayonetta 2 updated. And now we can talk about Project X, right?
Yes.
Which is the next game for Myonusoft, which I can never pronounce correctly.
Jesus.
Whatever. the studio behind Xenoblade Chronicles, which I have waxed and waned about for the last year and a
half. And not the studio behind, not the monolith that was behind Condemned and Gotham City Imposters.
Yes, and, specifically, because I mean, they have multiple teams. They also worked on Project X Zone, which we'll get to in a second. Apparently, Project X is their favorite name for titles. But yes, and they've also kind of assisted with Mario Kart 7 in some fashion. No, not Mario Kart 7, Skyward Sword. And this, you know, like they say, it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. This, for all intents and purposes, looks like a sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles.
The comet looked very similar.
Very similar would be very kind. I mean, just because the logos are not as round and they're squares now, doesn't mean it changes the core of it. So yes, it's like the whole auto attack, and then your character has like seven, your character has like seven specific super moves that you use, and they have a middle move which is either a team up or like their specialty. That it's like it's still there to the core. It has huge and fast worlds like Xenoblade, this time in HD.
And I have to say, it looks quite beautiful. It's a really nice looking game.
It's a really nice looking game. It's a little brown right now, but maybe that will open up.
it's probably just the part of the land they were in.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a sequel to Xenoblade and the world. Well, have any of you finished Xenoblade Chronicles other than me?
No, I haven't finished it.
Okay, so I won't spoil it then.
I'm not going to finish it though either, so.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. And above all else, it has giant mechs that transforms.
Yes, exactly.
I think that's what we need to take away from here, is that it has giant mechs that transform, because that's awesome.
Yeah, and the mech, it was a normal mech, it could fly, it could also transform into some kind of motorcycle.
Yes, so it's land-based, it can fly, it's used for attacks, and it's a mech that's, okay, I think they're using the term dolls, but we'll call it a mech that transforms, and that's badass. So,
yeah. And huge monsters.
And huge. Well, Xenoblade Chronicles had some giant monsters as well.
That's true, but I really like, though, I mean, at one point we saw a monster at least kind of, well, not just taking damage, but also losing its tail and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess we're going for some Monster Hunter stuff there as well. It's not only there, if you look exactly at the view, you can see a chat window and some other players as well, so I guess it's going to be a co-op game as well.
Yeah, and if you check out the internet, you can probably see every part of the trailer broken down into GIFs and videos and all this other stuff. People have been coming over that for the last week or so. And the other thing I want to say about this, especially in the wake of some recent reveals, is I'm so happy that a company has revealed a brand new game with actual gameplay footage.
Yeah.
Because that is a very lost art, it seems.
Yeah. I remember the days when you announced a game and you had actually game to show for. I mean,
yeah,
it's just a tragic games are announced these days.
Yeah, and that one, it wasn't a countdown to a countdown to a countdown, which turned out to be a CG movie or a live action film that's going to reveal the concept of the game. It's not a mini movie. It's not 15 years off, though I doubt it's coming out this year. It's a game that's in progress that they showed actual gameplay for. That you can see, you saw a HUD, you saw a combat, you saw, you know, hit points, it's actual gameplay, it's not target renders or anything like that. And that's very, very nice to do. And they still kind of had, you know, the cuttings and the music and, like, from this executive producer and the guy who composed, yada, yada, yada. Mm. But it was actual gameplay, and that's what we needed to see. So, yeah, I think that's everything that they had at the Nintendo Direct.
Well, they also had the boring stuff like Virtual Console coming out and you have to pay for your Virtual Console games again if you want to have the Wii U version, which you can play on your gamepad.
I don't think that's too much to ask. It's only like 99 cents per game, isn't it?
Yep.
So it's not too much.
It's more expensive for Super Nintendo games. That's what just 99 cents was for NES games, and it's, I think, 149 for...
I still don't think that's too bad.
Which isn't breaking...
I still think it's super dumb.
I get both sides of the argument. I understand why people think it's dumb, because they already paid for the game once. But at the same time, it's not like Nintendo's forcing anybody to upgrade. It's not like these games don't already work on your Wii. It's just that they don't have the functionality that you're paying for, I guess. And I mean, at the end of the day,
let's just look at it from a business standpoint. Nintendo is a business, and people like myself will pay a buck or a buck 50 to play Link to the Past or Super Metroid on the gamepad. And it's they'll make money by it. And like we said, it's the added functionality of playing on the gamepad. You know, you can set, you know, customize your button set, mapping to the gamepad what button does what. Miiverse communities, and like you said, playing it on the gamepad, off-screen TV. That's one of the biggest selling points for the Wii U. Why wouldn't they capitalize on that?
I understand that. And, you know, at the end of the day, people are going to have to evaluate it. Is that worth $1 or $1.50 to them? What I do have an issue with, and I can understand it from, you know, either side, is the fact that it seems like they're going to drip out the same games they released on the Wii again. Like, you know, like when a lot of people heard about the Wii U's Virtual Console, you think, you know, GameCube games, more Dreamcast games, stuff like that, especially N64 games, which weren't a huge thing on the Wii's Virtual Console, but it's like, oh, we're starting with the NES and the Super NES again, and we're throwing in the GBA, which is an odd one to pick, especially being that they have the 3DS eShop, which doesn't really have any GBA games.
What they should do for the Wii U, they should focus on more proper home console games like GameCube and N64 games, and then they should do handheld on the 3DS. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's what I thought they would have done, because you have the Game Boy, the Game Boy Advance, you have the Game Gear, you have WonderSwan, you have a bunch of handhelds you can pick from, and then on the console, like you said, they haven't done the N64 library properly. They haven't touched the GameCube. They haven't done much for Saturn or Dreamcast either. So you can focus on that for your Wii U Virtual Console, and you do the handhelds for the 3DS one. And this way, you also kind of don't run into the problem. And this is you have to buy a game on the Wii or the Wii U, and then you have to buy it on the 3DS. You can't like say, "Oh, I have Super Mario Brothers on my Wii. Let me transfer my Wii version to my 3DS." But you have to buy it separately on the 3DS.
Yeah. And the other thing is, as a European, what sucks is that apparently the games are running on in 50 hertz, which means we are again getting all our 17% slower titles, which is really stupid in 2013. I mean, this console comes by default with an HDMI cable and is meant to be placed in HDTVs where PAL and NTSC is kind of irrelevant. They should just put up the NTSC ROMs or make the PAL ROMs somehow run at 60 hertz. I just can't understand it.
That seems to always be the case when it comes to Nintendo announcements. Another thing, during the boring segment, as Martin called it, another thing that they kind of skipped over since it was announced with Wii Fit U, is that it looks like they're bringing over communities from the Mario Kart into the Wii Miiverse, which I think is awesome. You know, it's kind of like, I guess, SIST or groups or whatever on Facebook and Twitter where you can have like, oh, okay, you know what, I'll play with these type of gamers and stuff like that. I know, it's kind of like a separate friend list, I guess. And that would be kind of cool. I know they're doing it for Wii Fit U because they don't want people to be publishing how fat they are in public. And this way people can kind of publish it with friends and share stuff without the whole world seeing that. And I completely understand that. I think it has a lot of interest in... it reminds me of when the 360 got the ability to see friends of friends. And people would create like an account, and then they would add a bunch of people. Like, if you play TF2, so that you can find other people who are playing TF2 at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that, but it's done much better. And I think people are probably going to stick to it, because I don't think anybody does that with the 360 anymore.
And they are also releasing two more system updates, one in the spring and one, I think, was hit summer to speed up the Wii U OS, which it desperately needs, we all know. So that's good.
Yes. So I'm kind of curious, and this is for Anthony and Martin first. Did the Nintendo Direct justify your purchase of the Wii U, or do you still think you could have held off on it a bit longer?
I have to say I'm pretty happy now with my Wii U purchase. I have a lot of stuff to look forward to. A lot of it apparently also this year, so I'm fine with it. I said before the conference, well, whatever, Nintendo Direct started, I said, Nintendo has to show me that my Wii U is not going to be a paperweight in the second half of the year. And I guess they did that.
It's funny, because there was a lot of negativity about the Nintendo Direct being Wii U only, and now nobody doesn't... I don't know of anybody who's unhappy coming out of it.
Then you haven't seen the press reaction.
Well, the press reaction's just stupid. It's a case of, like, if you have a problem, and Nintendo had a problem, and then they did something to alleviate it, and that means they're desperate. But if they had not fixed it, then they would just be floundering still. So you can't win with them.
Yeah, and we won't get onto this on air. I don't think it's right to pick on the press. I don't really acknowledge them much anyhow. So we'll just kind of... But Anthony, what about you?
Well, I mean, when it comes down to it, I honestly don't get to play games as much as I used to when I was in college. But I was satisfied with my purchase when I got it back in November because of the sheer amount of fun that I was having with bringing people over with Nintendo Land and New Super Mario Bros. U. I mean, I have Zombie U sitting on my shelf. I just haven't gotten to go much into it. But where I was just, you know, fine and satisfied with it, like, I, you know, I have Trine 2 that I haven't gone through. I was happy with Little Inferno. While I was happy and, you know, had enough stuff to do, this got me, you know, legitimately excited for it. Seeing, because there's a certain feeling that I think a lot of us had back in, you know, the late 90s, when we were seeing the visuals that the GameCube could offer for the first time and seeing Nintendo franchises, you know, take such a drastic step forward in technological prowess capability. And so we're starting to see that now. We've been used to seeing Nintendo franchises at roughly the same visuals. I mean, there have been some impressive-looking ones, but we've been used to that for, you know, 11 years, really. And so when we're seeing these franchises in HD for the first time, Wind Waker, for example, it gets you really excited. And so, you know, I'm really looking forward to E3, seeing the new Mario and Mario Kart and... in motion, or, you know, in playable form. Masahiro Sakurai said that there's going to be more than just screenshots of the next Smash Brothers at E3, whether that's a trailer or something, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. You know, what's in store at E3 and just in the next few months, and really looking forward to the spring update. That's actually what I was most hoping to hear from this conference was services that made the Wii U interface run faster and virtual console capability. I was disappointed that there's no plans to get WiiWare titles on the Wii U menu, that you still have to go into the emulator to play them, but, you know, hopefully that'll change in the future.
I don't know if you can update old Wii games like that, but I assume that would be too much work. And I guess for Daniel and I, does this change your opinion of the Wii? Do you see yourself getting one in the future?
I don't know. I would probably try out Wind Waker, and obviously Bayonetta 2's been a game that I've always been interested in since they announced it. So, I mean, it can only get better. It can't get any worse than it started off as.
You never know. You never know. And as for me, I mean, I always said I was going to get a Wii U. It's not a matter of if, it was just a matter of when, and really, like I said, My most anticipated games really haven't changed much. I still look forward to Wonderful 101 more. Project X, I should say, is now my second most. I mean, granted, my most anticipated is the 3D Mario game from Tokyo, EAD Tokyo, but that's, you know, Mario is Mario. I'm going to buy a Mario game no matter what. And
I think my problem is so long as the majority of the games I'm interested in come out on PC, I'm not going to get another console.
See, that's going to be my problem. As far as the next Xbox and the next PlayStation go, it's like I'm looking to just build a PC, and because it's just so much more convenient, it's a lot cheaper in general to buy PC games and not worry about having it brick on you or Red Wing or
And if your PC does break, it's like a $40 replacement.
But yeah, I mean, that's a discussion for another day.
But yeah, I think like PC is just easy. I don't have to shell out, you know, a couple of hundred quid on a new machine. I don't have to put up with, you know, the things that irk me the most about consoles are being locked into the system, and I don't really have that problem with PC. So as long as the games I, most of the games I want to play are released on PC, I won't bother with another console for the foreseeable future.
So yes, that was the Nintendo Direct, a very interesting show for Nintendo, and it's going to be a very interesting year from them. It's going to be a very interesting year in general. As I mentioned last week on our Ghost episode, we're still in January, and we have a lot of stuff that's just kind of been put in our ass, and we still have two new systems to reveal. So it's going to be a very hectic year, and it's exciting to kind of have that energy in the game industry again. And we mentioned this before, Saeed, Project X Zone, not to be confused with Project X, is the Namco, Capcom, Sega team-up strategy RPG game got announced for localization this summer in the States and Europe. And honestly, I didn't see this game coming at all. But
I think one of them did.
Yeah, because hey, there's so much work involved in this and that, and it's, you know, especially with three different companies, it's like who's going to publish it, and it ended up being Namco. So yeah, this game looks like a very simple strategy game, but it looks so crazy.
The animations during the fighting scenes are just great. I mean, of course, it's from the guys who make the Super Robot Tyson games, who have these already have these crazy animations, but it's also nice to see it with these characters.
Yeah, yeah, characters you know and care about, and apparently a lot of boobs, very bouncy ones. At least that's what I got from some of the threads I've seen about this game. So yeah, it's going. The 3DS is having a very filled out year now. It went from being a so-so year to kind of like we have this, we have Pokemon, and a lot of other games in the back.
Age of 25.
Age of 25, Disney Infinity. It seems like it's kind of weird, and a lot of people kind of made this comparison, but it's odd that Project X Zone was announced and we haven't heard anything about a Bravely Default localization yet.
What's Bravely Default? Is that Square?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm not surprised by anything Square, so whatever.
By the way, just a quick note about Disney Infinity. They said, I think it was this week or something, they said that Disney Infinity could potentially mean that Disney would never have to do a movie tie-in ever again, which is a good thing. That's probably the best thing about Disney Infinity, is that, you know, if all they need to do is make the base of Disney Infinity good, and then that's it, you know.
Don't
have to put up with crappy movie tie-in games for the most part.
The thing I'm curious about is what does this mean for Kingdom Hearts? Because if Disney doesn't need to go outside anymore for their games, like what purpose does Kingdom Hearts serve them?
Well, we don't even know if Kingdom Hearts 3 or if anything's happening with Kingdom Hearts.
And that's my point. It's like there hasn't been any kind of movement on that front, and Disney seems to be very keen on bringing their licenses in-house now because they do have a gaming studio.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to take that away from Square or whatever, but we'll find out. I thought the thing you were going to say is that they also announced that Disney Infinity is going to be a sequel franchise now, which usually doesn't happen before the first game comes out, but... There you go.
I guess they're pretty confident that it's going to go well.
Oh, I'm pretty confident too. but that doesn't mean I'm going to announce the fact that we're ripping you off this year. So yeah, there you go. Speaking of ripping you off, Resident Evil Revelations was announced this week. I should say announced because the game already came out. It's a port of the 3DS title that came out last year. And it's going for, what is it? Was it $20? $30?
I think it was $30. PS3, 360, PC, Wii U, no Vita.
$60 for this port of a 3DS game that came out last year for $40. Yeah, no Vita is...
Apparently, they are at least going to expand the raid mode, is what I heard. But to be honest, I think it's pretty dumb to to have such a high price. I can see myself picking it up again for such a high price. I would have, because I really like the raid mode and having it on a console I actually play with online would be pretty nice. But for me, I guess like 20-30 bucks would have been what I would like to have paid for it. Preferably as a download title.
I mean, that, and I would also say that, you know, because the other 3DS Resident Evil game that came out was Mercenaries, which is basically a toned-down version of the one from Resident Evil 5, but put those two together. Yeah. Because, you know...
Well, Svensson from Capcom said that there will be some Mercenaries news next week.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of, because I think that means that Capcom's going to release a fake $20 on like the digital channels instead of combining the two. And so, if you combine the two, sell for $60. I mean, even originally, I think people were saying that they should have combined the two instead of selling, because I don't think Mercenaries works on its own, but selling it as part of the package works well. This just seems so backwards.
But then Capcom hasn't really done much that made sense with the Resident Evil franchise for a while, so...
That was the other thing, is that you're coming off of two very, very poorly received titles. I think Resident Evil Revelations was a really well-received title and stuff like that, but I think you're just hurting the brand by turning around with a new title so quickly on these consoles. And I don't think people are going to be as receptive to it as they were with Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, or even Resident Evil 6, which is so decently, but then completely collapsed after launch. So,
Because people are just going to go, well, Resident Evil 6 was crap, so why should I get this one?
Yeah, yeah. Anthony's about to step out. Do you want to say anything about Luigi's Mansion's co-op mode before you go?
Oh, I saw a little bit about it. Give me a quick primer of some of the details. I saw a few screenshots.
It's basically horde, not horde. I guess it's kind of fake horde mode. It's co-op. Basically, you go through different fields. You have to capture all the ghosts. It's four-player co-op. I think that's basically it. There's like not much else to say about it. It looks like it's going to be fun. It's all Luigi, which is another one of my dreams. But. But yeah, it's an all Luigi thing, which some people are having issues with, but whatever. And yeah, it's just like you go through, Spookcaster or something like that. Basically, it's a variation of, I don't know what you would say this is a variation on.
I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of Luigi's Mansion just because the first one was made on GameCube to take advantage of their new dual analog control. Obviously, 3DS does not have that.
Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see, you know, some of the impressions and reviews, when the game comes out.
I'm still so very, very sad that we never got Luigi's Mansion on the Wii, because that was the perfect setup for that game.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us. Have fun on your trip to God's Nowhere. And we'll catch you next week.
All right, see you guys next week.
See ya.
And that's Luigi's Mansion's co-op mode. And the final thing to talk about, and it finally came to head, THQ's assets were divided up and sold this, most of them were divided up and sold this week, which means THQ is no more.
Yeah.
RIP.
Before we get there, we might as well start at the end, and the one that a lot of people were upset about is that Vidru has not been picked up by anybody.
Nor Darksiders.
Darksiders is different because they can sell the IP different from the studio, and they have an AI.
Well, yeah, but people were surprised because it's still an IP that people could exploit in the future, but nobody decided to buy that either.
I think what happened with that, And this is, more Vidru than Darksiders, I guess, is the fact that Vidru just released the game.
Yeah, that's what Jason Rubin said, is they tried to sell Vidru, but they couldn't because they just released the game and they had nothing in the pipeline.
Yeah.
They had something, but they had nothing to show for it, so...
Yeah, it's kind of like, because, you know, like the studio that went for the most are the studios that have games, you know, like South Park went for a lot of money, and Turtle Rock went for a lot of money because they have games for on development. So you kind of get a studio, you get an IP, and you also get a game that's further in progress. Where Vigil just finished the game, they've only been working on their new game for 2 months, so that's really rough. And let's be honest, Darksiders hasn't really set the world on fire as far as sales went.
No. But Platinum's looking at it, though.
Yes, and the thing I see, and this is funny, because it seems like anytime you mention Vigil and Darksiders, the thing that pops up is Nintendo. So, you see that, and then people are like, oh, Platinum, so they can get Platinum to develop it, and then Nintendo publishes it. And like, the thing that always drives me nuts about the comparison is that Nintendo doesn't need to publish a Zelda clone.
Well, not only that, it's just, is people act like Platinum is owned by Nintendo just because they have Nintendo publishing two games. Because it's like, hello, have you forgotten that MGR is being published by Konami?
I like how you said Konami. I don't think people forget that. I just think that people want Nintendo to have Darksiders because they want an alternative to Zelda, except of all the studios involved, Nintendo has a Zelda and Zelda.
Like they have a Zelda, they have the Zelda.
So it's always odd to see, because you're like, okay, you know, they can get this, and like, but they have what you want. They have Zelda. It's not, like, Microsoft, I can see. Sony, I can see. EA, THQ, Ubisoft, Activision. All those people who want a Zelda-like game, sure. Don't ask the one company that already does Zelda. That's like asking Nintendo to pick a platforming game. Yeah, and Darksiders hasn't sold well, which I think is another thing that people are kind of shaky on. It's like, they were well-received titles, but even if you don't, and I mean, I guess that's unfair, because Darksiders actually does sell decently. I think it sold 1.5 million copies.
Yeah, but it's not the massive amounts that the publishers want.
Yeah, and the problem with that, and that's kind of what THQ ran into, is like, there aren't a lot of games that sell much better than that. Outside of first party studios, the games that sell 5, 6, 7 million copies are Assassin's Creed, Just Dance,
Call of Duty,
GTA, and I think that's it. Oh, and Battlefield and Medal of Honor, but I think Medal of Honor saw a huge drop with this one. So, I mean, you can count them on one hand, the number of third-party titles that sell 5, 6, 7, and that's not even getting to 10 million, because then you only have GTA and Call of Duty. This race to get to that number doesn't benefit anybody, because nobody's achieving it. We've spent 7 years trying to hit it time and time again, and nobody's getting up there. Other than Vigil and Darksiders, like I said, THQ sold South Park to Ubisoft. And from what I understand, that game's no longer coming out next month. Oh, it's March. I think they just said it's coming out this year still. Which I think is very odd, since the game was... I mean, if it was due out in March, like, what's the point of delaying it?
You know, it's so EA, Ubisoft can get their hands in and start meddling.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point of buying a studio and a game that far in advance...
Yeah.
It's a quick turnaround. I mean, I guess they have some type of quality control
issue. Ubisoft will just say yes. Ubisoft Montreal are now doing it because they have a million people.
Well, speaking of Ubisoft Montreal, Ubisoft also bought THQ Montreal.
I found the story behind this quite funny. What was it? The guy who created the not the most recent, you know, the Prince of Persia: Sands of Time and Assassin's Creed. He left Ubisoft, and he made, like, THQ made a big deal out of him joining THQ Montreal, and now THQ Montreal is owned by Ubisoft, so he's right back where he started.
Yeah, it seems like they bought the studio just to dick around with him.
Poor guy.
Apparently, they were also working on another IP, though, and that's what Ubisoft might be also interested in.
Well, if it's any, that makes sense, because things that have come out of him before have been gold mines for Ubisoft, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't know about his future with the studio, so that's an interesting way of saying that. What else? Turtle Rock and Evolve went to... Who did they go to?
Take-Two. Turtle Rock didn't actually get sold to Take-Two, but what happened was is they tried to buy their own IP off of THQ, and Take-Two just slapped more money down, and Turtle Rock couldn't afford it.
No, not a lot more. That was not even close. I think they said something like $250,000, and Take-Two bought it for like $22 million.
No, 10.8.
Oh, 10.8. So it wasn't even like in the ballpark of the same thing.
That must be so horrible for that to happen. You're trying to buy your IP back, and massive company just comes and slaps shit tons of money on there.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an insulting amount of money because we did see the it was the second highest bid, and like that's just overbid like a million. Okay, you could have got it still. This is like, yeah, you're not even gonna try to scrape together this money.
The thing is, though, for Take-Two to slap down this kind of money, I mean, that's one of the highest bids from the whole THQ thing.
They must have seen something in it to pay that much.
Yeah, it must be something special, apparently.
It has to be. It's just really curious, though, because, I mean, it's not, Take-Two's not short on, you know, big franchises. They have GTA, which we just mentioned. They have Red Dead Redemption, which does well. They have L.A. Noire. They have, you know, they have the sports games.
Yeah, but I think they also want more than the Rockstar games to be big for them.
BioShock? Borderlands?
Well...
And like I said, the sports games, it's not NBA 2K, what, 12 and 13 sell 5 million copies apiece? They aren't short on franchises that do well.
Yeah.
But I guess you can never have too many.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Fishin, the makers of Saints Row... and Metro, that's right, were picked up by Koch Media, the folks behind Dead Island and Dead Island Riptide. And apparently Jeffy B will not be working with them on Saints Row 4.
Good, if you ask me, good.
Jeffy B has a problem with dildos. Because God knows, Gears of War is such a family wholesome game.
The biggest thing I had is he said that once you put a dildo in your game, you forever become known as that game with the dildo in it. Whereas that's not true because, for a start, Grand Theft Auto had a dildo in it once upon a time. Dead Rising has a dildo in it. And The Witcher 2 has dildos in it. So... You know.
I mean, it's an identity. And he says, you know, like basically, I didn't want to get into this. I shouldn't have made that comment. Basically, what he's saying is, like, it's too much, it's not enough like GTA. If it was more like GTA, it'd sell better. And that's what Saints Row 1 was. And that didn't sell as well as Saints Row 2.
Well, and the only reason why Saints Row 1 was basically a GTA clone is because, at the time, THQ were exploiting the fact that there was no GTA on the Xbox 360.
Yeah. So, there you go.
And what's...
Metro, that site is...
Yeah, Metro, I don't think is really... They sold the IP. I think they bought the publishing rights.
They didn't get
it. I think that's the case.
Either way, I'm kind of glad that, like... I mean, Koch Media, they're not an evil company. They haven't done anything particularly great, but... You know, these can change that. These can change that. I mean,
yeah, I was about to say the thing with Koch Media is it sounds like they're just trying.
It's Koch. Jesus.
Okay. Apparently today's my day of just butchering every publisher in the entire name. So there you go. But I was going to say the thing is, it seems like they're just going into THQ shoes right away. They kind of went from a publisher that nobody really heard about to
guys that now own Saints Row.
Yeah, like, they spent a lot of money on Saints Row, $22 million, and then they spent another $6 million on Metro. So, altogether, they spent nearly $30 million on buying these two the IPs, and I assume, like, I think Martin said, they didn't buy the people behind Metro, but they did buy Volition, so.
Yeah.
So, and we kind of went through this earlier. They actually own a lot of game studios. They make a lot of games. It's just like nothing that has any type of notoriety other than the Dead Island games.
Yeah, and it looks like they want to expand. Kind of reminds me on how Warner started out.
Yeah.
So it can go either way.
Yeah,
but I'm glad that we never had it. Like, we didn't have any big asshole publisher pick up Volition and Saints Row because that would have been the end of it for me.
Yeah, it really does seem like it was really odd because, like I said, the bidders for the front, the winners and the second runner up were announced, and it's odd that EA and Activision wasn't a runner up for any of these IPs. It really sounds like they were hoping to pick up everything on the cheap.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you have to say most of the stuff was pretty cheap. I would say.
But it was pretty cheap,
but apparently cheap enough for them. They wanted to pick IPs up for peanuts.
Crytek, they paid $500K for
Homefront. And what I was going to say, I mean, Homefront is not a big IP. I could have told you that beforehand. I guess Crytek probably did enough work that they thought, well, for 500K, if we get it, at least all our work is not...
Here's a funny fact. The price that for you to license the CryEngine 3, right, is 500K. So basically they spent a license of their own engine on Homefront.
Yeah, it's for them, it's kind of nothing. So
yeah,
it's probably worth it if it at least sells decently.
I mean, the first Homefront sold well, so I mean, even if it sold, I don't know, a million copies or so, which would be a steep decline, it still would probably make up the money. And like you said, they already put a lot of work into it, so it's probably like they just like, you know, we might as well at this point.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was kind of interesting because like if EA and Activision expected to get these for cheap, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, these things are very technical to me, is that if the bids didn't surpass what Keurig was doing, that Keurig would buy the company in whole. So like you knew the minimum that you had to hit for all these things would be, I think it was 50 million. It wouldn't have gone cheap in general because that's a lot of money across these IPs anyhow. Somebody pointed this out and it's very sad though. It's like about a decade ago now, Microsoft bought Rare for $375 million from Nintendo.
At this point, I think that's... I mean, to be honest, even back then I thought the sum was ridiculous.
I think Nintendo was just like, you know what, they're not worth anything, Josie, but we'll take it. And in the long run, I assume that $375 million helped Nintendo, that wouldn't help Microsoft.
Because what you forget is Microsoft got the avatars out of that, $375 million eventually.
Yeah, Nintendo got the Miis for free. but then you think about the fact that all of THQ... So for less than $70 million, it's kind of sad.
I think some stuff wasn't even sold. There are like IPs, I think, from Relic that are not even sold. Like, what's the space of strategy game name again?
There's Homeworld. There's
Homeworld. I think Homeworld.
Red Faction. What's that? You know,
Red Faction. Yeah. Darksiders is already mentioned.
The thing is, these IPs will be sold for the time.
Destroy Humans, Titan Quest.
Yeah, but those are IPs that will be sold further down the line.
For even less than Homefront.
Exactly. Those are going to be sold for peanuts. Maybe Activision and EA will then pick something up.
Yeah, at that point, I can see that. But yeah, there is a future date coming. So even though THQ is pretty much all but dead and buried at this point, they still have to suffer through actually going through another auction to sell some of their legacy IPs. There you go. Oh, and this is somewhat related to THQ, but not related to THQ. Because apparently they had an out in their contract, but it seems like the WWE license is going to be picked up by Take-Two as well. But the WWE, I guess because of the nature of their contract, had the ability to negotiate outside of THQ. So it seems like they've been doing it with EA or Take-Two for some time. And it looks like it's right now leaning towards Take-Two.
I think the best result, though, was definitely Relic going to Sega, because Sega know how to do PC strategy games.
Yeah, the thing I don't get about that, though, is like Sega knows how to do PC strategy games already. It doesn't add much to the library.
It's a very different strategy game, though.
I guess we'll see. It's just I always find it weird, like you're just doubling up on a genre that you already kind of dominate in. I guess you can't have too much domination. It's just you would think somebody would have picked it up to compete with Sega in that front. I guess, but you know, strategy games aren't seen as a big genre even after XCOM.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, was there any other news that you folks wanted to touch on this week?
No, not really.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we don't have in fresh. It's too much time. Like, I knew there was going to be a lot of news, so we just kind of skipped everything else. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, nobody announces anything next week. I think Nintendo's...
We'll have another Nintendo Direct, you bet. I bet.
Well, they did announce two future ones. They have one that's dedicated to the 3DS, and they have one
there
that's...
There you go. It's going to be tomorrow or something. It's going to be announced tomorrow, and it's going to be Monday.
And they have one dedicated. They have one dedicated to 3D third-party titles on the Wii U, since this one was all about Nintendo's first-party stuff or stuff they're publishing. So yeah, there you go. For Anthony, who had to step out to go to some part of Texas for some reason, I don't know. Martin, Daniel, myself. This has been Dual Wielding episode 97.